Good morning, and welcome to the Wednesday, January 21st, 2026 edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Thursday, January 22nd, 2026. Top of our front page today, we learn about activities at a recent meeting of the Unity West Parent-Teacher Organization. The Unity West Parent-Teacher Organization, known as the PTO, of course, meets on the second Tuesday of every month at 6:30 in Unity West's Media Center and Library. Members at the most recent meeting discussed their upcoming big fundraiser, Glow Bingo. It's happening on February 28th at the R.E. Franks Center, the Philo Gym, at 127 Washington Street in Philo. Food trucks will be on hand, including Smith's Burgers, and come and get this. They'll be serving starting at 5 p.m. Doors will open at 5:30, and the 10 games will begin at 7 p.m. Reservations for tables of 8 are $300, or single tickets are $30. They're available online. Extra tickets are sold for drinks and other games and activities and during the evening, with lots of prizes, including a skylight calendar, Polar Express tickets, and a solo stove fire pit. Other events the committee's working on include Unit 7's Sweet Senior Citizens, where you can nominate your favorite senior citizens by calling Unity High School's office at 217-485-6230 by Friday, January 30th for deliveries on February 6th through the 8th in time for Valentine's Day. A cheer camp will take place at Unity High School Gym February 10th and 11th for kids from kindergarten to third graders, and from 6 to 7 p.m. fourth through eighth graders. Later at 7 to 8 p.m., with a performance taking place in the Rocket Center during halftime of the February 13th basketball game. Again, this is our new cheer camp dancers. When the meeting opened up, a Tolono Fun Day Festival board member described to all present the activities of the June 26th, 27th weekend and asked for volunteers to assist and especially to appeal to the younger attendees, suggesting that they might attend a meeting on the third Thursday of the month at 6:30 p.m. in the downtown police station. For details and scheduling, you can visit their website, which is TolonoFundays.org. Tolono Fun Days is all one word. Next up, we mentioned earlier the St. Thomas Annual Pancake and Sausage Breakfast, which was a great success back on January 18th. They've announced that they still have Tiger raffle tickets available for a chance to win either $4,000, $2,500, $1,000, and $500. You can purchase raffle tickets at their website, which is stthomasphilo.org. St. Thomas Philo is all one word. Other special events are planned for the last week of January with Catholic Schools Week and Trivia Night, which is scheduled for Saturday, March 7th. Next up, we have our weekly newsletter from the Philo Public Library, and they begin, "We received an exciting shipment of books last week, and it was a very good day. All the books are now processed and either on the shelf waiting for you or already checked out. You'll find the author and titles at the end of this column. I will list them. And you might want to call the library and place a hold on any one of them so that you get the books now rather than a few weeks or months down the line, depending on how popular each title is. Placing a hold on a book is easy, and you can either call the library and ask us to do just that, or you can go online to philolibrary.info. Philolibrary is all one word. Once at the website, you go to the catalog and enter the name of the author, title, or other information you want to search. When the book appears, you can see if the library owns it. If we do, simply click on the book, and then you'll be prompted to enter your barcode, which is the very long number on your library card that starts with the numbers 23037, followed by 5 digits, and then 4 more digits. Then just enter your password. The original password is the last 4 digits of your phone number, the number that you used when you first applied for a library card. Not sure which number you gave us? Give us a call and we can look it up for you. Okay, here's that list of the new books that just came in on January 15th. I'm just going to read the title and then the author's name, starting with How Does That Make You Feel? Magda Eklund. This book by Anna Montague. It's a thoughtful and affecting story about wayward love, regret, and missed opportunities. Next up, Merry Christmas, Alex Cross by James Patterson, Danielle Steeles, Color of Hope, and that one is in large print, Exit Strategy by Lee and Andrew Child. Jack Reacher will make 3 stops today, and not all of them were planned. This was a good one. Remain is the next title by Nicholas Sparks with M. Night Shyamalan. This is a supernatural love story. And lastly, David Baldacci's Nash Falls, which is a global crime story. These are will give you a good start to the new year, and hopefully we'll have more new books before the end of the month. And as we always say, thank you for reading. Next up is our weekly newsletter from The Giving Place. On last Wednesday, The Giving Place served 6 families, including 1 new family, amounting to 15 people and 3 children. Food was given out, totaling about $350, which actually was 7 boxes at about $50 per box. Yearly totals for 2025, The Giving Place served 422 families, including 30 new families. They accounted for 1,421 people and 643 children. Food given out totaled $28,550, which amounted to 573 boxes at about $50 value per box. Volunteers worked over 1,100 hours during 2025. At the equivalent of about $34 an hour, this totals over almost $38,000 worth of volunteer labor. All food given away is donated or purchased through cash donations from our very generous community. Thanks to Jo Ellen, Linda, Karen, Judy, Sharon J., Ernie, Pastor Gail, Dale, and Mike for serving our clients Wednesday night. Over 40 different people volunteered during 2025, and thanks to all who did. Please feel free to come and visit on Wednesday nights and see all the blessings that are happening and maybe become part of The Giving Place, which ministers to the Unit 7 School District, helping those in need. Next up, Starkle Planetarium at Parkland College is announcing a variety of new spring shows for 2026. The spring 2026 schedule features a variety of shows, including new adventures and fan favorites for everyone to enjoy. An exciting new show is called Messengers of Time and Space. It weaves a story that looks back at humanity's long history with a changing night sky, exploring how our perspective on the universe is being revolutionized. They do this by moon collecting light across many wavelengths, as well as cosmic rays, neutrinos, and gravitational waves. the hot and energetic universe presents the achievements of modern astronomy, the basic principles of electromagnetic radiation, and the natural phenomena related to high-energy astrophysics, and they make it sound very exciting. Next up, a new show called Out There, The Quest for Extrasolar Worlds, questions whether or not there is life on other planets. The planetarium will also feature fan favorites, including The Prairie Skies, Expedition Reef, and Sunstruck, all designed for adults. And Beyond the Sun, In Search of a New Earth, Cosmic Colors, Flight Adventures, and Coyote Explores the Earth, Moon, and Sun. These shows are designed for kids. On February 7th and April 11th, the Astronomy in a Grand Scale will be presented at 4:30 p.m. and Un Cielo, Un Mundo, La Aventura de Big Bird at 3:30 p.m. Both shows are presented by a native Spanish speaker, and they're coming up on February 7th and April 11th. Next up, one of the biggest favorites at the planetarium, Rock Out to the Dark Side of the Moon, with a light show set to Pink Floyd's album. Patrons will enjoy this full dome show on the first Friday of each month at 9 p.m. and other selected times that will be listed. Matinee shows will be featured on February 16th, April 3rd, and March 19th. Shows will not be held on March 20th and 21st. There will also be sensory-friendly shows on selected Saturdays. These shows have a lights-up and sound-down environment. All are welcome to attend these events. On the first Friday of each month at 7 p.m., the Planetarium hosts the Kaler Science Lecture Series. For more information on the entire spring schedule, free observatory open house dates, the Galaxies Club, school field trips, and sponsoring a planetarium chair, or renting a telescope, or booking the dome, you can call the planetarium at 217-351-2568, or you can visit their website, which is simply planetarium.parkland.edu. And let's stay with the Planetarium at Parkland College with the weekly article by David Leakey, the former director of the Planetarium, and his weekly article, The Night Sky. This column covers the dates January 21st to January 27th, and he begins, "Start looking for a waxing crescent moon after sunset in the southwest tonight. Saturn sits above and left of the moon. The pair are nearest each other tomorrow evening. That's Friday night. Look out around 8:30 p.m. The moon will track further eastward each evening as it orbits our Earth, passing very near the Pleiades star cluster next Tuesday. Use binoculars to better see the star cluster." The Japanese word for Pleiades, by the way, is Subaru. "Don't believe me?" he says. "We should check out the emblem for the car. Our bright stars of winter are well above the eastern horizon as the night sky darkens. One will note the three belt of stars of Orion in the southeast, making nearly a vertical line. The red shoulder star, Betelgeuse, appears left of the belt with the bluish knee star, Rigel, to the right. The belt stars seem to point downward towards Sirius, the dog star, and the brightest star in our night sky. Now, if you're thinking, but wait, there's a brighter one in the northeast. Yes, there is, but that's the planet Jupiter. Go on, brave the cold, go outside, and take a look." Our thanks to David Leakey for this interesting column. Next up, we have news from Countryside United Methodist Church, this article by Janet White. Every year, At Christmas time, the church includes a special Christmas tree among their decorations. It's called the Mitten Tree, and it's decorated with mittens, gloves, hats, and scarves that the members of the church donate. After the holiday season is over, the winter garments are collected and donated to a local charity. Past recipients of the winter clothes have included the Crisis Nursery in Urbana, the Unity East Elementary School, and Unity West Elementary School. This last Christmas, the winter clothes were donated to the Giving Place in Tolono. Next up, we have news from Rocket Nation, courtesy of our correspondent, Diane Ducey. St. Louis Cardinal baseball players, alumni, and broadcasters came to the Hilton Garden Inn on Friday, January 16th. Doors opened to fans at 11 a.m., giving them a chance to support the Champaign County Freedom Celebration Committee as they make plans for America's 250th Patriotic Birthday Party on the 4th of July. Raffle tickets were sold by volunteers, with those purchasing hoping to win swag, including sweet experiences, calendars, shirts, hats, and all kinds of items for the kids with the Cardinals logo. The morning show host with Studios in Philo, Stevie J, introduced Michael McGreevy, Thomas Segesse, Yoel Pozo, and Andre Palante, along with alumni Brad Thompson and Benji Molina, with Chip Carey as the broadcaster and MC. Fans heard stories from the players of their upbringing, their struggles, and dedication to baseball, along with sharing insights about their families. Towards the end of the program, Fred Bird came out to get people fired up and then posed at the selfie station with a red backdrop that included various St. Louis Cardinals logos. Kids aged 15 and under were given autograph passes to go through the line in priority groups to get signatures from the panel. Then older fans could have one item signed as the line continued until the Cardinal Caravan wrapped up to get on their bus tour and on their way to their next stop in Peoria. Next up, we want to recognize the achievements of several local students in higher education. First up, we want to congratulate Eric Blahovich, who received high honors from the University of Wisconsin at Stevens Point. Eric is from Philo, Illinois. Next, we congratulate Annabelle Stegg of Tolono, who has been named to the Dean's List with Southern New Hampshire University. Congratulations to both these outstanding scholars. In more higher education news, Eastern Illinois University placement ranks for their new graduates ranks highest among all of our state universities. Eastern Illinois University was the top choice in Illinois for connecting students with careers and advanced education opportunities. For Illinois students and families weighing their college options, recent statewide data offer encouraging insight into what happens after graduation from Eastern Illinois University. In the most recent report from the National Association of Colleges and Employers, their acronym is NACE, N-A-C-E. EIU recorded a 91.2% placement rate for its graduates, meaning that more than 9 out of 10 students were employed or enrolled in further education within 6 months of earning their bachelor's degrees. Also, according to that data from NACE, once again, it's the National Association of Colleges and Employers, placement rates for EIU rank the highest among public universities in the state of Illinois and placed actually more than 4 percentage points above the national average. This is a remarkable achievement by EIU and a testament to our deep dedication to our students, said Vice President for Enrollment and Management at EIU, Josh Noman. A large part of EIU's success is defined by its exceptional outcomes. EIU students and their families can be assured that EIU graduates are leaving our campus prepared, credentialed, and ready to thrive in their careers and communities. The NAICS placement rate reflects outcomes that matter most to students and their families, and that is exactly whether graduates are successfully transitioning into careers or continuing their education. The 2024 report is based on survey data collected from the previous year's graduating class following nationally recognized standards for measuring postgraduate success. The 2025 update will be available during the upcoming year. Today's newspaper contains a lengthy discussion of Illinois' Clean Slate Law, which allows automatic sealing of nonviolent criminal records. Also, county clerks in Illinois are warning that recent changes to the Postal Service could disrupt mail-in voting. This article courtesy of the Capital News Service. Over 1.7 million Illinois adults will be eligible to have their nonviolent criminal records automatically sealed after Governor J.B. Pritzker on Friday signed the long-debated Clean Slate Act. This is House Bill 1836, and it will require law enforcement agencies and circuit clerks to begin systematically sealing eligible criminal records by 2029. Existing law already allows people to apply for qualifying records to be sealed for certain crimes. The new law doesn't add to the list of eligible offenses, but rather streamlines and automates the process, removing legwork for those with records. Of the 2.2 million Illinois adults with a past arrest or conviction, advocates estimate that 1.74 million or 79% could have their records partially or fully sealed because of this legislation. Convictions for more serious offenses, like sexual violence against minors, DUIs, reckless driving, cruelty to animals, and other serious violent crimes, including any that qualifies for sex offender registration, remain ineligible for sealing. Law enforcement, courts, and other relevant agencies will still have access to the sealed records, but the public and private background check entities will not. Automatic sealing will apply to convictions as well as dismissed or reversed charges and arrests. Representative Jahan Gordon Booth, D. Peoria, was the chief sponsor of the bill in the House and said that the project was a personal one for her. Gordon Booth recounted how an infraction from her youth was weaponized against her in her first run for public office. "I was given the chance to move beyond my mistake and to manifest my potential in service to my community, and I want the millions of other people in this state to have the exact same opportunity," she said. "This law is not about charity. It's not about forgiveness. This is about justice, and this is about redemption." The legislation passed 39-17 in the Senate and 80-26 in the House during the fall veto session. And now let's turn to those Postal Service changes. These will involve changes to postmarking and transportation rules, which could disrupt mail-in voting in the 2026 election, according to Illinois county clerks. Ahead of the March primary election, county clerks are telling voters not to rely on past processes and to mail their ballots as early as possible, and certainly no later than 1 week before Election Day. Clerks from around the state discussed how to educate voters at the annual Illinois Association of County Clerks and Recorders Conference, which happened last Thursday in East Peoria. One new rule, which took effect on December 24th, states that the date a postmark is applied to a piece of mail may not reflect the day it was received by the Postal Service. Currently, 14 states, including Illinois, will accept mail-in ballots if they are received within a certain period of time after Election Day, if they are postmarked on or before Election Day. The county clerks warned that uncertainty about when ballots will now be postmarked necessitates voters to act earlier. The way postmarks are applied is not changing, the Postal Service says. Mail is only postmarked at distribution centers, and that will remain the same as it happens today. But in an effort to improve mail delivery efficiency, some localities' mail may be sent to a different distribution center than in the past. This can increase the amount of time it takes for the Postal Service to receive and then postmark mail at these centers. It's a question mark of when will it actually get through a distribution center. So I'm advising my voters to make sure that they get their vote-by-mail ballot into the mail no less than a week before Election Day, according to John Ackerman, who is county clerk in Tazewell County. In the city of Peoria, for example, the distribution center is in Peoria. Tazewell County Center, Ackerman said, is in Champaign, even though Peoria is geographically closer. To educate voters about these changes, he said, his office will include yellow index cards with the recommendation in the vote-by-mail packets sent to voters. Voters can also request a manual postmark from their local post office or drop off their ballot at the election official's office. But if election officials can't rely on postmarks to reflect accurate dates, a number of mail-in ballots that were mailed prior to Election Day may not be counted at all, according to the clerks. Ballots also will no longer be automatically considered priority mail, increasing the amount of time that will it take to deliver that mail. We've utilized that successfully over the years to make sure that all those ballots not only are delivered, but that they are received in time. Changing that status dramatically changes how that will impact as well, said Ackerman. These changes will be most felt during the recount process when candidates are scrambling, Ackerman said. The clerks generally agreed that this could change the outcome of a race. Anthony Vega, who is county clerk for Lake County, speaks to reporters at a news conference in East Peoria. Vega, among other Illinois county clerks, warned of disruptions to vote-by-mail processes due to these new Postal Service changes. Clerks also said that they're concerned about changes impacting voters' trust in elections, especially because voter guidance is now going to be different depending on the county's location and the location of their distribution center. We've told all of our voters, get your vote-by-mail ballot in your box by Election Day to be postmarked for Election Day. We will process it as fast as possible. We're ripping the rug out from underneath that, Ackerman said. That leads to distrust. When you can't give a solid date, you can't give a solid answer. And when you can't reply back to them with facts, when it's left for interpretation, it erodes the trust that we've been building in our elections. In the past, when this potential change was proposed, the clerks said that they were able to speak to federal lawmakers to advocate for its reversal. In late September 2025, a delegation of county clerks traveled to Washington, D.C. to meet with lawmakers and staff about these changes to federal funding for election infrastructure and learned that lawmakers didn't know about the potential changes, Ackerman said. They were all unaware that this change was going to take effect. They were unaware, in my opinion, of the impacts it would have on vote by mail. So we are all urged strongly to get our ballots, our vote-by-mail ballots in 1 week before Election Day, and the primary is coming up this March. This concludes our reading of the South Champaign County Today edition for January 21st, 2026. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.